Fantastic. Well, good morning, Real Life Church. It is sensational to be with you this morning. And today's actually a special day. It's actually my eldest daughter Amy's 25th birthday. And you know how they always say about childbirth? That, you know, once you've had them, you forget all about it. Not me. I can still remember having Rod, but like this, nobody told me it would hurt this much. Anyone else remember that day? Yeah, you're just all pretending to be brave. But so worth it, so worth it. So this morning I want us to pray together and just pray because I believe that the Holy Spirit is very much wanting to touch hearts and lives this morning. And so would you have position yourself in some way to receive, and I'm just going to pray a prayer of blessing. Father God, I thank you this morning because it is your heart and your intention to transform lives. Father God, to encounter your people on an individual level, on an individual basis. Lord, you know everybody's journey, you know their hearts, you know their histories. And so this morning, as we just open up your word, Father, we just pray that there would be a yes and amen in every heart, a readiness to receive all that you have for us this morning. Speak to every life here, every person. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Fantastic. All right. Now, I'm going to explain what's happening over to my right in just a little while. But in the meantime, I want to talk to you this morning about pressure experiences. Do you sometimes feel like life is like living in a pressure cooker? Doesn't matter what where you turn, the pressure is always turned up high. You're sealed tight and you're feeling the heat. It is an experience in life that is not that pleasant. But this is what I'm going to be talking to you today, pressure experiences. Can you turn to your neighbour and say, pressure experiences? Now, I want to tell you today that amazing results grow from those times of pressure. And when the test is over, we will become so much better because of the experience. Now, pressure has just taken place in our own country. Through the recent fires, the droughts, what good is actually going to come out of what Australia has been through and is going through? Well, I know that God has in mind that he's going to bring everything around for good, and that we need to be praying in this season of prayer and fasting that Australia will be listening, will be leaning in to hear what God is saying through this time. A few weeks ago, for those of you who were here, I talked about calling out the greatness. Anyone remember calling out the greatness? And as we're heading into these 21 days of prayer and fasting, this is what I believe. I believe that there are people who need this calling out to greatness. One of them is our Prime Minister, Scott Morrison. We need to be praying that godly wisdom that he's leaning in to hear what the Father is saying about our country. We need to pray for politicians, both Christians and non-Christians, because nothing Australia has been through will be or is wasted. Now, the word pressure is defined as the physical force exerted on an object. There are other words for pressure to just elaborate and explain it a bit more. Squeeze, strain, stress, tension, compress, crush, grind, force, press, and so on. And you know, there's a lot of natural things that require levels of pressure to become transformed and improved by the experience. Clay is kneaded and softened to make vessels of beauty. Grapes are crushed to make wine. Olives are pressed to make oil. Carbon is heated and pressured to make diamonds. Wheat is ground to flour. So remember that the Word of God tells us that we are working out our salvation with fear and trembling. We have not yet perfected, but we are all in the process of working it out. And sometimes what we do is we bash ourselves up, don't we? I should be better than this. I should be further along. But God says, it's okay. You're working it out. We're working it through. Amen? Now, it is my absolute pleasure this morning to introduce to you one of my very special and gorgeous friends, Lucy. Lucy, stand up and come and take your position. Make her feel very welcome this morning. And I have invited Lucy, who is a potter, to work with her gifted hands as I speak. And what she's going to be doing as I'm speaking is she's going to be visually demonstrating part of our message today that's based on the scripture found in Isaiah 64, verse 8. And for those of you who know it, please say it with me. We are the clay, you are the potter, we are all the works of your hands. And this is one of the most powerful analogies in the Bible regarding our transformation and our sanctification in the Lord. Because when we give our hearts to Jesus, what we do is we give him our permission to mold us, to transform us, to shape us, and to sanctify us as we journey through this life. Now, one of the very first processes that occurs when working with clay is the kneading and the softening of the clay in preparation for what is going to be crafted on the pottery wheel. And the preparation of this clay is vital to how the end product will turn out. The quality, the shape, the structure depends on this initial kneading and softening. Now, I don't know about you, but I like many, have struggled and wrestled with God about why the righteous suffer and where is God in all the injustice? Why do bad things happen to really good Christian people? And yet it seems incomprehensible to us that our loving, faithful, good Father uses difficult pressure experiences to prepare us for the unexpected. So we're going to just... Lucy's here. She started to work. Lucy, would you just share with us this morning what is happening here? What's happening in this first part of the process with the clay?
Sure. So the first process is really just about compressing the clay, making sure that there's no air bubbles or spaces that would essentially burst in the kiln. So keeping it compressed and then also centering onto the wheel so that when it's centered, you know that everything is going to be nicely aligned and we can start building.
Fantastic. Okay, let's see what happens. If we are faithful through suffering, we will be surprised at the joy that we have despite the pressure. We will be comforted by his peace and we will be fulfilled in his purpose. Because when we're going through pressure experiences, what we need to do is trust God, run into his arms and lean heavily on him. So often when the pressure starts to get worse and worse, we tend to step away and be cautious and move away from God rather than actually leaning in, yeah, and clinging to him in those difficult moments. But he promises that he will lead us through, that he will take us through. He doesn't say that we can get out of it or we can go around it, but he says he will take us through. Amen? So, 1 Peter 4, 12 to 13 says, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed." But in this whole process of pressure, We have to let go of our emotional attachment and keep our eyes firmly fixed on Jesus. We have to keep pressing on. Philippians 3:13-14, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. You see, if I can, like this clay that Lucy is working on, allow God to work out this process, then I will come through and I will come out of the valley of the shadow of death, a new and more powerful me. Out of the crushing comes power. Now, all of us probably have quoted this scripture more than any other scripture I know. I've been in church since I was 3 weeks old, and I can't count how many times I've heard this from Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. But all things include the unbearable, the losses, the disasters, the I didn't see that comings. God uses all things, the pressure experiences. But on this road that we're on this journey, on this salvation that we're working out, it contains distractions and detours. Anybody notice that? Our journey involves unexpected breakdowns and pit stops that have absolutely, seemingly nothing to do with our plans and our purpose. And it's in these times where we find it so hard to see the hand of God. These are the times that if we're not careful, if we don't stay focused on his word and actually lean into him, run into his arms, that we can become anxious, we can become afraid, we can become uncertain, we can question our own journey, our own faith. Sometimes we feel in these times like we failed, we've missed our purpose. Just after I was in the season where I was having children and you know, they were terrible. My children were both very bad sleepers and Rod and I were like zombies. And I was feeling like I had so failed God. And, you know, I used to be so full on for God in the church and doing so many things. And here I was stuck in this season. Yeah. But, you know, God brought something of great gold and worth through that pressure experience that I've been able to use again and again and again and again to help and encourage other people. Think about the children of Israel and their 40 years in the wilderness. How often did they whinge and complain and question God's leading? Talk about curves and talk about pit stops and breakdowns. In a journey that should have taken them a very short time, they spent 40 years in that wilderness questioning God and at times saying, I want to go back. Can you believe that? I want to go back to slavery. I want to go back to that horrible whole atmosphere that I was in back in Egypt, because they couldn't see what God had in mind, what God had ahead of them. Detours and curves in the road, if we will allow them to, become milestones in our ultimate advancement. Why do you think it is that God keeps these detours and these pit stops hidden from us? Well, I think I'd like to suggest this morning that I may have an idea. Because if we knew what was ahead, we would probably sabotage it. We would probably try and take it into our own control and sabotage what he is trying to accomplish in our journey of faith. Because when we're suffering, when we're in that pressure experience, we can see it as an end, not a new beginning. Pressure experiences, Real Life Church, reveal that there is more to God's plan than we could ever have imagined. As we look for his guidance, the pressure becomes the creating of something brand new. Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." Now, as Lucy is working the wheel, we are seeing that she's crafting this piece of clay. Maybe those of you, are there those that can't see? You might want to stand up for a minute and have a look at what she's doing, because it's so cool. I'll just move that back a bit. Yeah, great. Make sure you have a look at this. And Lucy's crafting this piece of clay. Ah, lovely. Well done. Thanks, Michael. Lucy's crafting this piece of clay, and as she's working, there is this silent wrestle going on between what Lucy the potter is trying to mould and the way the clay is responding to her touch. In the end, she wins and chooses to make the vessel she designed rather than the way the clay may be wanting to be moulded and structured. Anybody relate?
Yes.
So too, in winemaking, the process has this wonderful end. But in the process, the fruit grower's perspective of the grapes is completely contrary to that of the winemaker. Think about this. The fruit grower focuses on the producing of a great crop of fruit on the vine. But the paradigm shifts when you consider the winemaker's focus for the grapes, being that they may produce a high-quality wine, which may not actually be touched for many, many years. Those of you who love good wine, it will be matured before it is finally opened, enjoyed, and drunk. What if our pressure experiences are necessary in order for our potential to be fulfilled? Have you ever considered that? You see, God's end game is eternal. It is like the wine and its maturation process. This process that God has us on is part of a process of us becoming who we were created to be in our mother's womb. But during the process, it's so hard to often see the end goal, because we look in the natural and we look at sort of kind of here. Whereas God is eternal, and what he has in mind is eternal purposes. Yeah? This is ever so clearly demonstrated through the faith journey that God had Joseph on in the final chapters of Genesis. Now, I've only been here for, I think it's about 8 months, maybe nine. But you will, for those of you who are observant, you will notice that Joseph is my favourite guy in the Bible, and when I get to heaven, I will be having a cappuccino with him. But in the meantime, we're coming back to Lucy. Lucy, what's happening here? Tell us. Describe to us where we're up to in this process.
So we have centered the clay, and now I'm just working on building up the walls and making sure that it is nicely compressed still.
Tell us about centering, the importance of centering.
The importance of centering. Okay, so if the clay is off center, you cannot pull the walls up because it's fighting, it's like off balance. And if it's off balance, anything that you do from that point, the walls will be uneven. You know it's not going to hold. You also know that it's not going to make it through the next few stages, which is the firing. So everything we do now also affects the last two processes of the stage. So making sure that all those details are actually looked at and considered when you're making is really important.
Beautiful. Okay, you can see that analogy. So, Joseph was a guy who understood what pressure experiences were all about, because he had some catastrophic and very unjust natured things happen in his life from a very young age. And often these experiences seem to all come at once. Some things are not related, but all of a sudden that happens, then that happens, and something unrelated there happens. And it feels as though it's all happening at once. And at times in our lives, we are so overwhelmed with feelings of powerlessness. If Joseph's brothers had not conspired to throw Joseph down a pit, he probably would have lived a very favoured and charmed life. He was daddy's favourite. He was in a household of brothers where he had the, you know, the sign that he was a favourite with his coat of many colours. He could have been successful, staying in his own country, marrying a woman from his hometown, and likely be the one chosen to run his father's affairs. And there are many of us here this morning that I know you too, like me, have experienced all manner of different sorts of betrayals, often by those we love the most. Well, as Lucy works this morning, and as I am speaking, the Holy Spirit right now is brooding over us, and he is wanting to touch and heal the pain associated with those betrayals, as he did with Joseph. So Joseph finds himself betrayed by his own family, sold into slavery in a foreign country, and is presumed dead by his father, so nobody is coming looking for Joseph. Joseph lands up in the house of Potiphar, the captain of Pharaoh's guard, and he has been purchased as a slave. Now, Potiphar very, very quickly notices Joseph's leadership and intelligence in certain skills. And so what he does in a quick amount of time is he actually appoints Joseph the master of his household. So things are going well for Joseph. He's in the house. He's in charge of the whole household. He's been shown favour. Wham! Another pressure experience occurs. Potiphar's wife. Say nothing, gentlemen, at this point. She takes a fancy to him and makes a move on him. And Joseph does the right thing. He flees the scene, but with shame and guilt, Potiphar's wife places all the blame on Joseph and gets him thrown in jail. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is not the sort of jail that we have today. Okay? This does not have a big screen TV. It's dark. It's rat infested. It's disease ridden. The food is rotten. It's disgusting. And the harshest of conditions. But amazingly, despite where he finds himself with this injustice of even being in jail, the two combine to produce a blessing. And just as he has been shown favour with Potiphar, here we are again where the head of the jail also finds favour in him and puts him in charge of the whole prison. Can you see this pattern emerging in the life of Joseph? What are these, what is happening? What is it about Joseph that gives him these noteworthy positions of leadership? What are these leadership qualities that Joseph clearly possesses? Why were they so quickly recognised by absolutely complete strangers and foreigners? Yeah? Think about that. Why was Joseph flourishing despite the grief and pain? But the most important question I want to ask this morning is, what maturing process was Joseph undergoing through these pressure points? Well, Lucy, where are we up to? Tell us. It's starting to take shape. Have a look at this, everybody.
So I'm onto the last stage, so I'm going to start stretching out the clay and just shaping it into the final shape that I want. And I guess the main thing in this point is just considering the thickness of the walls, because that will determine the capacity that I can stretch it out to. Yep.
Beautiful. Okay. Feeling like doing some pottery? Now back to Joseph. So Joseph endures another crushing blow when he interprets the dreams of Pharaoh's butler and baker, and they promise that when they're free, they're going to mention his name for a pardon. But once released, one of them loses their head and the other one completely forgets about Joseph, and he remains imprisoned even longer. So he's betrayed by his brothers, he's betrayed by Potiphar's wife, and now he's betrayed again by Pharaoh's butler. Different commentaries tell us different accounts of how long the period was that he actually stayed in prison, in jail. But it's at least 10 years. And imagine all of the time that Joseph had to think. He's sitting in this dark, disease-infested prison cell. And I suggest to you this morning, he may have been saying things like, these are my prime years. I could be married with kids by now. I could have a prosperous business back with my dad. Imagine the loneliness and the feelings of abandonment he must have experienced. You see, we want quality, but quality takes time to produce. Quite often, we don't want to wait for it. What God was producing in Joseph would save a nation, but he had to wait for it. And you know, right now we live in a society that wants everything instantly. Food, entertainment, shopping, information, social media, and even dating. Sometimes all we do at a special event like a ball or a wedding or an anniversary is we just end up spending the whole night taking pictures of ourselves and others rather than actually enjoying the moment. Now, don't get me wrong, pictures for memories are great. But how much time do we spend? We want to see things instantly. We want things. So often we sacrifice quality for instant gratification. We must have it now. Well, what became of this man Joseph, and what was this pressure really all about? What was the end game for Joseph? Well, finally, Joseph's giftings were observed by Pharaoh, and he is made second in command of all of Egypt. Joseph finally came to the place where God was preparing him for all along. And the pressure experiences set him up to be the right man for the job. He had all of these giftings, all of these experiences, all of these skills that he had been through these pressure experiences that gave him exactly what was needed, what was required to actually save a whole nation. Joseph was even able to confront his own brothers who betrayed him because God had done this incredible work in his heart and was able to say in Genesis 50:20, "But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring it about as it is this day to save many people's lives." All the qualities Joseph obtained could only have come through those pressure experiences. Let's check in with Lucy again. Lucy, we can see there's a shape taking form here. After this process, what has to happen after this that we're not going to have the opportunity to see today? Tell us about that.
So after this, we wait and just wait until it completely dries. And once it's dried, then it goes into the first firing. It's fired at 1,100 degrees. Take it out, I glaze it, and then I fire it again at 1,280 degrees before it's completely what we call vitrified. The clay is then taken to its full maturity, and it can then hold, contain anything really, and will hold its shape as well.
Beautiful. And you will see over here some of the beautiful finished works and products that Lucy has already made. Absolutely stunning. Please come and have a look at those afterwards. So as we journey along in life, we need to remember that when we face these pressure experiences, and we will, it is better to cooperate with God rather than to try and argue and wrestle with his plans and purposes. So I want to give you three tips on how you might like to do this morning. Number one, give your whole life to him and let go. Release your grip. When we say, "Lord, you have my life," don't keep mistrusting him and questioning him and taking back the control of your life. Now, remember every day that he is the potter and we are the clay. Tip number two, don't try and rush the process. It takes time. Lucy's just talked about waiting. There's a waiting time. Sometimes we can treat God like he's an ATM, wanting everything right now. Don't rush it. Rest in him. Trust him. And tip number three, you don't have to understand or know all the answers. During these pressure experiences, we need to trust that God profoundly, perfectly loves us, that he has us. It says he thinks about us more than the sands on the seashore. And he knows ultimately what the end game is and what is best for us. So during the pressure experiences that Joseph went through in jail, he was stripped of all of his freedoms. He was stuck in endless cycles of futility for years and years and years. He was locked up in shackles. And I am absolutely convinced that when Joseph was going through this period, he didn't have any idea that God was moulding him, that God was needing him, and that he was being sculptured with the skills and qualities that were needed to save a whole nation. He was being crafted by the master potter. Real life church, God is not so concerned about our comforts or of us being inconvenienced. You see, soil must be upturned or it will go fallow. Those of you like Tony who has provided these beautiful plants for us this morning, Tony knows all about soil. Please ask any questions to Tony. We so often choose our own way of seeing and believing. We look at it from our own perspective, and that is why we need God's direct intervention to help us become so much greater than what we could achieve without him. Our maturation requires us to be imprisoned by his purpose. I'm going to say that again. This is so important. If you hear nothing else from what I've said this morning, please remember this. Our maturation or our maturing requires us to be imprisoned by his purpose. That piece of clay will be of little worth or beauty without the hand of Lucy. But with her guidance and intervention, it will become a vessel of great worth. Jesus redeems even our darkest moments and brings something good out of our brokenness. Our part in this process is not to throw tantrums. Yeah? Don't look as though you've never done one. Or to have attitudes of entitlement or a victim mentality. Nobody else has been through as much as I've been through. I am always the victim. How come everybody else wins and I always seem to lose? Yeah? We play that comparison game. Pressure experiences can be uncomfortable and inconvenient, but they will bring forth gold and great beauty in God's perfect time. Pressure experiences can be uncomfortable and inconvenient, but will bring forth gold and great beauty in God's perfect time.